So last week, we were in Joshua 11, and we got down to the phrase from the book of James in chapter 1, verse 2, saying, "Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various temptations." And James 1, 2, this verse is to realize the possibility that God has allowed our flesh to rally itself against us all at once sometimes, so that he might destroy completely from every corner that it has attacked us from. Remember, this was when all the kings came, and they could have either had faith or doubt. What was going to happen? Which way were they going to respond to this? And Paul saying in Philippians that he who has begun a good work in you and will complete it is to say to us, not just that he's going to complete it, but the work is ongoing. And though we are saved, we are being saved every day. And though we have been delivered from the flesh attacks us every day. And we are changing, as Paul said in Corinthians, from glory to glory, from grace unto grace, even as by the Spirit of God. So not done yet. Secure, absolutely, but in process. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. Looked after. God's business. Saints of the Most High God. Absolutely. And what does God do with His children? He protects them and He keeps them and He grows them up. Grows them up into the fullness of Christ. So wherever you are today, I hope you're enjoying it. But don't go to sleep there, because tomorrow's coming. And the day after. And stay focused on Jesus and we'll be fine. God builds our faith, not just so we can say that we have great faith. He does it so that we will have enough faith to trust Him in even more difficult situations. The more difficult the situation that we trust God in, the more He has opportunity to show Himself and His faithful to a watching world. You're still here because God is still desirous of and is showing people Himself through the likes of you and me. We should strive to be very real. Don't be a phony. Don't pump it up. You don't need to. It's a great message. What? God saved you? Man, if He can save you, He can save anybody. Amen. How about trying it? Stay very real. Stay alive. Enjoy. In spite of what you go through, because your joy doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So you're not dependent upon the situations that you're in. You're dependent upon He who is in you to do wonderful things from even situations you consider impossible, terrible, and energy suckers. We have situations that can suck the energy out of us. If we let it, if we stay focused on God, it won't. We maybe have days where we say, well, what will happen if I don't do something we're thinking of? What will happen if you don't do something is that God will do it much better than you ever could. Or leave it undone so it can accomplish what it needs to. Sometimes we do things that God hasn't asked us to do because they bother us, not because they're bothering Him. If you think about it that way, it's possible we could stumble along and interrupt a very intricate operation that God is doing in another person, by not giving them what they want for a time and a season. Really? Really. Father. Abba. The one who sets boundaries in your life and sets you free and teaches you to run. And like David said, "Thou hast trained my hands for war." You want to do some warfare? War against the flesh. That will still rise up and try to destroy you. Doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. Is that right, Frank? Frank would know. Don't look for the Christian walk to get easier, because it probably will not. You should be aware of that. Be ready for it. Stop looking for the easy way out. Look for our faith to be stretched to its limits and beyond, as we trust God. What happens when you run out of faith? footprints in the sand. Time for a cuddle with God when you run out of faith. You think He just abandons you? You have to have faith in order to make it? No, you have to have God in order to make it. I didn't have enough faith to believe what God had called me to was actually going to happen the moment it happened. I've been through too much. My faith was low, and God did it in spite of me. That's what happens. Have faith so you can enjoy. But when you just can't, when you're exhausted, Jesus has you covered. He's got you. And He'll restore you and continue on building faith. Oh, always, you'll always need it. He'll always want you to have more. So be diligent in it. Our faith... Where did I get that? Okay. The Lord builds faith slowly, one situation at a time. Our faith never becomes great enough for the task. It's never totally your faith that's good enough. It's God. But it does grow quicker at trusting God in the challenge. So it's not really about even keeping track of your faith. It's about trusting God. And others will tell you, or others will notice that your faith is growing and growing and growing and growing because you trust God. Because you're looking at God. If you look at your faith, it'll shrink. It's like if you look at the prayer request that you're giving to God and waiting for the answer, that will not give you courage or endurance. That will zap the strength out of you. You need to look beyond what you've asked for to the one you're asking. And you need to live there, not here. As we go along in our Christian walk, we shouldn't look for our strength to increase. We should look for ourselves to become less afraid of our weaknesses and more comfortable with God's strength. God's strength. In spite of yours. Because yours wasn't sufficient. Men, don't get all bent out of joint because of that. We'll never be quite enough for the task. But God always will be more than enough. So don't be afraid to ask Him for the strength that you need. He's pleased when you rest in His strength. He's quite concerned when you're busy trying to increase your own. Because it makes you independent. And you were created to be dependent on God. That's what you were created. That's the goal. To become totally dependent upon God. Not totally able to do something. That's the kind of faith that God is looking for. To include Him. Hey, I had a wonderful thing happen on last Thursday. I was down there in the corner of the church and kids club was over. And it's always great fun, but it's always a... And you're doing this and you're doing that. And it's great. There's noise and there's running and there's all this stuff. Everybody's gone. I was just shutting the last of the lights out. And I said this. And why I said this, I'm not sure. But I said, oh, we made it. I was standing alone. No, not alone. That was the proper expression. We made it. God with us. In Christ. The measure of the man. He's the measure of the man. I'm just His workplace. And so is the world. Joshua 11. That was just the introduction. Joshua 11. 11 to 15. So this is the... They came after the kings and the battle had gone on. This is nearing the end here. And they struck all the people who were in it with the... This is Hazor. Pardon me, let's go to verse 10. Joshua turned back at that time and he took Hazor and struck its king with the sword. For Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms. Ah, important. Pulling out dandelions yesterday. Important. Great big thistle. Did you get the bottom of that thistle? How deep did you have to go? About a foot or so. Yeah. You can make it look better by taking the top of the thistle off, but if you want that puppy not to come back, you got to get down to the bottom of it. And so that's what they were doing here. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroying them, and there was nothing left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. And remember, we have to trust God with the fact that he had watched these people. He had given them reason to believe, and they chose not to believe. Time's up. So all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But as for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burned none of them except Hazor only, which Joshua burned. And all the spoil of the cities and the livestock and the children of Israel took as booty for themselves, but they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing. As the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua burned Hazor with fire. Divine destruction. Divine purification of the land that had been polluted by the people, created in the image of God, and yet creating their own image other than God. That pollutes the whole land. That's what was happening here. A sign of divine disapproval. The place was desecrated because neither the land nor the people in it were consecrated to God. The Canaanites of the land had desecrated their lives and the places they lived by honoring themselves and the idols that they'd made instead of God. They worshiped carved wood and stones in the place of God. The work of their own hands. They admired what they could do and what they could accomplish. The work of their own hands. I enjoy doing a job well. And I look at it and think, that's great, I like that. But to bow down and worship, or to get hung up on myself because I did a good job? Wrong. Always, at the end of the day, thanks, Lord. It doesn't matter what you're doing. At the end of the day, thanks, Lord. That was a tough job, and I couldn't have done it without you. Oh, we could have, but it wouldn't have been pleasing to God. You see, that's the part we leave out today. We do all these jobs and all these things, but we leave out the biggest part is was it pleasing to God? Was He there doing it with you? Did you acknowledge Him in it? Or is that something you'll do when you come Sunday? No, we're about what at the moment? As though He were really there, because He really is. Right there in the middle of what you consider to be your life, which really isn't, belongs to Him. How are you managing this that belongs to Him? Somebody gives you a $500,000 car and says, here, take it for a ride. And you know that if you break that thing, you'll have to replace it. How are you going to drive it? You can't replace this. If we destroy this, there's no replacing it. Christ in us, that's the chance. That's the deal. Don't mess it up. It's very important to God that we don't mess it up. They had tried to make unholy holy. Well, let's just call it holy. Let's just call it holy. Sometimes we do that in the church and we give God second place. We get our programs and our music and we get it all practiced up and everything else, and we don't invite Him to show up, and we talk about ourselves more than we talk about God and how great. No. No. You cannot make unholy holy. Celebrating ourselves is never holy. It's always unholy. Celebrating God is holy. Do you work for what you can do? Is that why you live? To accomplish what you can do? Is that your sense of purpose? What you do makes you feel like a fulfilled person? It's called, help me out here, Julia, self-actualization, Maslow's law of hierarchy. Yeah, hierarchy of needs. We have all these needs. Yeah, people without God have all these needs. I get it. But if you'll rest in the God who has redeemed you, your self-esteem goes through the roof. It's actually God esteem now. Your self becomes, I don't think about self very much, really? Wouldn't that be nice? It's possible. Absolutely possible. But you have to stop trying to gain your own self-esteem. You'll have to stop trying to be noticed. You'll have to stop trying to please everybody. You have to stop doing that to live in the position Christ has given you. The emptying out of self so that God can have His place. You can't make the unholy holy. That can't be done while living in disobedience to God. Without living in disobedience to God. I don't read the Bible because I find it particularly enjoyable. Sometimes I do, but that isn't why I read it. I read it because I'm striving to please God, and in it I find God's will, which is always a great joy. I also come face to face with my self-will. This is not so pleasing, but necessary. You need to see two things in your journey. You need to see God clearly, and you need to see yourself clearly. And don't assume, just because you say that all you want is the will of God, that's actually true. I'll give it to you that it's partly true, only because in my life, I'm hoping it's at least partly true. But there's more to it. So as you go through your day, and you do what you do, and you see the reasons you're doing what you're doing, or the Holy Spirit tells you the reasons why you're doing what you're doing, it may become apparent to you that you may have a little bit of repenting to do. That you're actually a bit more involved in the situation than you thought you were. Taking some glory. And so anyway, if you do that, you'll be able to better rejoice and embrace those embarrassing moments in your life when you find out there's some of yourself left. And it wants glory. That's a regular. It's an ongoing thing. I actually, I don't know if I told you this. Maybe I didn't. Years ago, gave my guitar to God. Because I was a new believer and I knew why I'd been playing that thing. Just to bring attention to myself. And so I'm stuck at this place one time. And I said, God, you know how much I like playing music. You know how much I like playing, but I want you to know that if you don't want me to play anymore, I give this to you. And I was prepared to lay it down. I don't know how I would have ever filled that out, but that's what I was prepared to do. His response to me was, no, it's okay, Wayne, you can keep it. Just play it for me. I'd never played it for him much before. So now he becomes my audience. I don't care if anybody else listens in. Doesn't matter. He becomes. We always only have an audience of one. And that's God in all these things that we do. So God's plan for our lives is obedience. The details of that obedience will be shown to us and worked out as we continue walking in faith. We want to be careful that we don't get caught up in protocol. That is, how to build churches, how to save communities, how to win people for Jesus. These are just details. They're good details, but they're just details. Some of which we will implement from time to time, but we must always remember that God is the one we are to follow and not just the footprints of where He once walked. Oh, so-and-so is doing this. Oh, so-and-so is doing that. Oh, I know one time when somebody did this and it was great. Why don't we do that? Is anybody talking to God? I've told the board, said this before, when people are asked to come on the board, I don't want brainstorming. I don't want you to be able to figure out a problem. I want you to be able to hear from God. That's why I ask you to be on the board, so you can hear from God for me. Help me to do that, so that we can follow Him. That's the key. And if you do that first, everything else that He has planned will come to pass. And none of what you have planned will ever happen. Oh, do you want to live there? If all that you are is locked into God, your self-esteem and all that other kind of stuff, if it's locked into God, it won't matter that you don't get your way. You know what happens when you get a room full of people when it doesn't matter whether they get their way or not? You know what you have? Unity of the Spirit. Ah. Seriously, if everybody just wants God's will, there's lots of give and take. Everybody's picking things up and putting things down, and it all fits perfectly. There, nice. Because nobody's got their ego on the line. Nobody's getting their self-esteem from what they do. They're getting their self-esteem from whose they are. God made me. God redeemed me. I'm good. I'm not that great, but I'm good. Literally, because the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, one of the fruits of God's Spirit is goodness. Rather than trying to attain to it, why don't you just live from it? The only thing you've got to put down is your pride and your ego. That should be easy, right? Right? That's the time to say amen. We've got to put it down. I said last night that well, we're going to do that song again today. Wherever we agree together, whenever two or three agree together, God is there. Anyway, I said last night that I've made a couple of observations in life. One is that there's probably at least 10 different ways to do the same thing right. Another observation I've made is seldom will you ever find two people who will agree upon that. It's nasty. How about the most important thing being the other person? That would help. That would go a long ways. And even if you don't think the way they're doing it is as good as the way you'd like to do it, it's not about getting it done. It's about doing it with other people. Why do you think God hangs around with us? Holy. Seriously. And He likes to work through us? Ridiculous. It would be so much faster and so much easier if He just did it Himself. Seriously. We are just misfits. But He chooses to work with us and to be with us. How about if the most important thing at a work party, which thank you for the people that came out yesterday for the work party, the most important thing at the work party was working with the other people. And eventually, oh, look, we're finished. That was easy. Oh, it's easy if there's not striving in it. If you've been given the place of a leader, be as gentle as you can. Make your points when you have to, and bow out whenever you can. Lead from the middle, not from the front. If you're given that kind of position, do your best at that. And it works a whole lot better. Anyway.